still shines. Amen.
The star still shines. No. God, we thank you for all the ways in which you guide us. Meet us in this place right here. Meet us in this place right here. We offer you the meditations that rest on our hearts. And we thank you for all of the ways in which you transform us and guide us. In Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh. Proclaim the message I give to you. Jonah obeyed the word of God and went. The end. Well, not really. You wanted more, right? You wanted more of the story. You wanted to know how it ended. Well, before we go there, let's go back to the beginning of this story. And I want to invite you to go deeper than the story, because there is a message for us in this. And if we just stay on Jonah and a big fish, we've lost the story. But before we do that, I want to go back to last week. Because we're looking at the prophets. We're looking at the prophets' call and their resistance to the call. Have you ever found yourself resistant to God's call in your life? We looked at how Samuel mistook Eli for God because Samuel wasn't listening for God. He was listening to his surroundings. And sometimes in order for us to hear God, we have to listen beyond the world around us. And in last week's invitation, I offered you this reflection that I found on illuminatedminds.org, where it talked about the difference between inspiration and motivation. Inspiration is something that pulls you in. Inspiration is defined as being in spirit. Sometimes we think about inspiration as something we breathe in. But if we think about breathing in God, we are breathing in spirit. This website says motivation is something that pushes us. Something that gets behind us. Have you ever gone to a motivational speaker to an event like that? And what happens? You get all charged up and you're going to like do all these things different. And you wake up the next day and you look at your palm pilot and say, oh no, I can't do that today. Because we get motivated by things that push us instead of what fills us. What calls us. In fact, most of the time, when God calls us, our situation is not that much different than the prophets. We're looking at the end result. We're looking at what actually we'll have to do to live into that calling. And how many of us are just like so thrilled and excited to do that? Right? You wake up every day saying, great, I'm going to go do God's work. Which usually means we're going to be eaten alive. Can I get a witness? Come on. But I really think that this story about Jonah is deeper than all of that. You see, Jonah was called to do something he didn't want to do. We don't really know all the reasons why. But we do know that he decided to go on vacation instead of going and doing what God called him to do. And there was a lot of things that happened on that cruise line. He was on a boat with people who did not worship the same God that he did. But he was on a boat with people who were in tune, in spirit. Have you ever met somebody of another religion and find things incredibly similar? Incredibly parallel? Has that ever happened? In fact, unless you knew that they were not of your religious identity, you would think you were exactly like them. Of course, then when we find out we're not, what happens? I'll let you figure that one out. So here we have Jonah, resistant, fighting, running, intentional about not following his call. Well, funny thing happened on the way to vacation. Jonah had this experience where, for however this happened, now we can go down the scientific notation path and know that it's really not possible for somebody to be swallowed up by fish and live in that nasty, stinky, smelly place for 3 days. Or we can use it as a metaphor and know that when we're not in alignment with God, we're living in some nasty, stinky, smelly place. Can I get a witness? I mean, sometimes you're just around somebody and you're like, woo, child, you are not resonating with that call on your life. So here is Jonah. And he's in the whale. You ever been in a really bad place and all of a sudden you think, oh, I could pray. Come on. So here's Jonah. I called out to God out of my distress, and God answered me in the belly of Sheol. I cried, and you, oh my God, heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Have you ever felt like your circumstances removed you from God's sight? How shall I look again on your holy temple? Jonah cries out. The waters close in over me. The deep surrounds me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Have you ever felt so bound by your resistance that you can't move? I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. You brought up my life from the pit. Oh God, my God, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols for the sake of their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. Whatever I have vowed, I will pay. Deliver me, O God, as deliverance belongs to you. And in that moment, the fish spit Jonah out onto the sands, onto the dry land. This prayer takes me back to a movie that Burt Reynolds was in 1978. It was called The End. And I don't know if you saw this movie, but at one point, he was ready to just end it all. And he decided to throw himself into the sea. And he swam out, and he swam out, and he swam out till he was over his head and in a place of exhaustion. And all of a sudden, his life flashed before him and he wanted to live. And so he said, oh God, if you'll just help me get back to the shore, if you'll just help me get on dry land, I'll give you 90% of everything I make. And the closer he got to the shore, and I promise, oh God, 70%, it's all yours. And as his tippy toes touched the bottom, he said, 50% and we're good. And as he walked up onto the dry land, he said, oh, thankfully I made it. There's a story in there for us. How many times do we come into a place like this with our souls drenched, longing to know if God loves us, longing to be wrapped by that familiar blanket of peace and grace and love? And then we get it. And then we start giving into it. And we start giving to it. And then we step right into our human container and we start finding issue. We find issue with each other that's different from us. And then we find issue with people who are just like us. And then we find issue with the church. And then we find someplace else. Not much different. So here is Jonah. Fearful to go to Nineveh, but has this epiphany. And God calls him again. What stopped him in the first place? What stops most of us from doing something new or different? Even something we long to do? Fear, change, go deeper, uncertainty. How about failure? How many of us are really fearful of failure? Ralph Marston, one of my great teachers in life, writes something every day. He wrote about failure. And he said, if you do not ever fail, then your goals are not nearly ambitious enough. If you do not come across new challenges on a regular basis, your abilities and effectiveness will become stale and weak. Comfort, this is awesome, comfort is a good state in which to find rest, renewal, and refuge for a while. It is a dreary and dismal place to take up permanent residence. The reason life can be so rich is precisely because it can be so difficult. You cannot possibly appreciate or fully benefit from the good things if you have no experience with the bad things. Can I get a witness? Isn't that the truth? When your efforts are met with failure, you know you are on to something. Because on the other side of failure is real and substantive accomplishment. Seek not to create failure, nor to avoid failure. Seek instead to allow failure, when it comes, to keep you moving on the path to greater success. Failure confirms that you are reaching higher, and higher is always in the best direction to reach. I thought about this. I thought about Jesus' journey. If you looked at Jesus' life, if you just looked at his life, without knowing that, you know, he resurrected and, you know, is our dear companion, personal Savior, one who guides our steps. Aside from all that, okay, just look at his life. What would we consider Jesus? Well, let's think about it. He could never keep those disciples in order. They were always wanting to go against the mission. They always wanted personal time with him. He always wanted to go out and make a difference in the world. Well, he had a really difficult time with leadership. And then he just ticked off everybody who was in authority. He made people uncomfortable. He was a bit sarcastic from time to time in his parables and his metaphors. Then he ended up getting himself killed. I mean, think about it. This was only a 1 to 3 year mission, and he couldn't be successful beyond that. If all we do is look at it from our definition of success. But he opened himself up to fail in order to succeed. Jonah never really recovered from his call. If you read the book of Jonah, it ends with God proposing a question to Jonah. He was angry that the city of Nineveh, after he came and did what God said, actually repented and made a difference and turned away. And Jonah got angry about that. God, I thought I was going there for you to annihilate these jerks. That's not in the New International Version. It's certainly an interpretation I bring to the text. But still in all, Jonah was going to do, it never occurred to him that God could actually move through Jonah. Change the world. I think there's a lesson for us. We oftentimes think changing the world is somebody else's job, with a bigger portfolio or a much more floral resume. We don't even know what Jonah did before God called him. I think this story gives us the opportunity to look at our life's journey. And if we're not in alignment with God's call, then we get to do it over again. Don't you love do-overs? Yeah. Sometimes in a relationship, you just have to do it over. You just have to start from what you learned and do it fresh again. This story is not just about God calling Jonah. This story is about God calling us. I thought about this through the lens of forgiveness. If we took out the city of Nineveh and we plugged into this story, forgiveness. Go to the city of forgiveness. How many of us run from that for fear that the person we need to go ask forgiveness from, come on, will not welcome it, will not like us, will not forgive us? That is our deepest work. That. You ever had stuff just live in your gut? Anybody? Anger and bitterness, things that somebody did to you, or even something you did to somebody else, just sit there and gnaw at you, or that you push away. Try to pretend like it doesn't exist. What I love about this story with Jonah is not all the stuff that surrounds it, but the do-over opportunity. Where Jonah and God, in dialogue with each other, in openness to each other. Jonah hears God call him a second time. And what does Jonah do? In all of his stuff, in all his resistance, in all his fear, he goes. Sometimes it just takes stepping out, right? Like we think we know it's ahead of us every day we wake up. Stepping out. Do-overs in our spiritual journey to be in spirit. It's our charge. Is our calling. The rest, we don't have any control over anyway. How many of you really have control over your life? Come on. To live in to this opportunity means to be in spirit as we open ourselves up to God's call. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for Samuel, for Jonah, for the prophets of this ancient text, for the ways in which you stretch us and grow us, for the words of inspiration, for the fear of failure, and for the holy boldness to rise up against that fear and to step into your sweet, holy, sacred presence and to live into your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.